Breathe. Breathe. Do you remember someone say that to you? Breathe. It usually comes at a time when you're not breathing too well. You know, you're stressed out, you're worried about something, your anxiety level is rising, and you know, you're just like, you're actually like this. Someone says, hey, breathe, breathe. I've heard that a few times said to me. Breathe. I think sometimes our lives can get like that. We can become so distressed and so filled with anxiety, particularly this time of the year, I might add, when we begin to wonder, you know, what is all this about? Why am I doing this? What's, you know, where's God in all this? That first reading we heard from the book of Baruch is written about an experience in the Jewish people's tradition where they were in exile. They were in Babylon. They had been a great nation of kings, King David, King Solomon. They had the temple, and all of a sudden it was destroyed. Totally destroyed. And not only was all that destroyed, they were actually taken from their land to another land. And imagine their distress of, you know, what is this all about? I mean, we had the temple, we had the kingdom, we had all the things that we did to were about God, and now they're gone. They begin really to wonder, you know, where is God in all of this? And what is God's presence in all of this? We can sometimes, in our everyday lives, kind of fall into that kind of experience with the stress and the anxiety of not just this time of the year, but any kind of experience can be so overwhelming to us that perhaps the sense of breathing would be a thing to take into mind. Let me say, point out why I say that. The Hebrew people had this wonderful sense of breath. We talked about this a little bit in our Advent series the other day. We got together to discuss Richard Rohr's book. If you remember the second story about creation, there are two stories of creation. There's the one that we know about in chapter 1, which is about the 7 days of creation. Then there's another story in chapter 2, which is another story about creation, which is actually older than the story in the first chapter of Genesis. But it's a story that goes like this. It says in chapter 2, it's very brief, that God shapes out of the earth this human creature. And the Hebrew is out of the clay of the earth, which is the hadama. Out of the hadama is created this human, this hadam. It's the Hebrew. We sometimes think of Adam as a person, but this Hebrew word for human was hadam. So hadam is formed from the hadama, from the clay of the earth, and shaped, but not yet alive. Not yet alive. The story is that God then breathes into this creature the breath of life, and they become alive. They become alive. The Hebrew people had this wondrous sense of breath, being that presence of God, being the sign to us that we are alive with God's life, alive with God's breath. Even their word for God, which they would not pronounce, which is Yahweh, or Yahweh, Yahweh. The Hebrew people would not use that name for God. Their belief was you cannot name God. In their tradition, in the Semitic tradition, to name something is to have power over it. To name something is to have control of it. But not God. They would not use the name of God. They created other names, Adonai, Elohim, but the word, the name of God, they would not pronounce. They didn't feel right to do that. And even if they were to pronounce it, the word Yahweh is a breath word. Say that word, Yahweh, Yahweh. You can't say that word and close your lips. You can't capture God. You can't control God. It's the breath, Yahweh. Even if you want to enter into prayer and breathing doesn't work for you, just say the word, Yahweh, Yahweh. Breathing. And what is breathing? Think about it. Breathing is giving and receiving. Giving and receiving. Giving and receiving. It's a balance. You can't do one. Oh, we may try. You know, you can't. It's eventually you gotta. It's the give and the take, the giving and receiving. It's that balance in our lives. And when they get out of balance, that's when we sense this distress and the anguish and the worries of our lives in this kind of giving and receiving, giving and receiving. And yet that is the rhythm. And so in our Christian lives, in our journey here at St. Paul's, our lives are about this balance of giving and receiving. Giving and receiving. Today, as the children know, St. Nicholas will be with us in a little while. I think I hear he's on his way. And we will give to St. Nicholas. And we receive in return is this wondrous sense of gift, of giving. And we receive this kind of wondrous reward of knowing that we are reaching out to others in our lives. The Eucharist itself is very much about this giving and receiving, this balance of life. We bring forward the bread and the wine. We bring forward our gifts. And then we come forward later to receive even a greater gift, that we receive from this experience. And part of what I want to talk about today is we're introducing something new today to live into this sense of giving and receiving. We'll all have a chance to, come forward at communion time. But we're also going to pick up an ancient tradition. As you know, on Sundays, the ushers bring forward the bread, the wine, the cups, as well. And then they come forward and then receive the plates that they then go forth into the congregation to gather in the offering. What we're going to do is introduce today the idea of families, individuals, couples, parishioners, bringing forth those gifts. And what we're going to do on Sundays, I'm going to talk about this a little bit, is when you come to church on Sunday, the usher may give you this little green card and say, would you be willing today to bring up the offerings, the bread and the wine and the cup? And, if it's not your day, just say that. But hopefully you would respond to that. And this card explains what we're asking you to do. One side has instructions. The other side has the history of this. And the clergy, we've discussed this. When it came time to write this down to show the different gifts we have, Sally wrote the instruction side. I wrote the history side. So we kind of have a balance. But all of us, all the clergy were part of putting this together. Just to quickly go over this, in the early church, very quickly, in the early church, the Christian community gathered in people's homes. And so when they came to celebrate the Eucharist, they brought with them the food. They brought with them the bread and wine. They brought with them the gifts that would be used at the Eucharist. As the church began to grow, by the 3rd century, they began to gather in gathering places like we are, in churches. And they would still bring food, still bring bread and wine. And it's said from early history that the deacon would be the one who would stand and receive those gifts, gather all the bread, the wine, the food, and would gather all that food and bread and wine in a place that would help feed people during the week. It was reaching out to the poor, reaching out to those in need, reaching out to those who had no food or drink, who were struggling in their lives. And the deacon would take some of the bread and wine, and bring it to the altar for the celebration of the Eucharist. But the great gathering was used to help people and reach out to people. By the 11th century, jumping centuries here, by the 11th century, the church had grown to such a size that tradition had kind of gone by the wayside, but people would then offer money. Money would be given in order to do those things, in order to both do ministry within the community and beyond the community. And that tradition of bringing forward money. In the 20th century, the last century, that sense of bringing forth the gifts was renewed. And it's that renewal that we want to experience here at St. Paul's. And we're going to invite you each Sunday, some family or couple or individuals or a group of people will be asked to by the ushers. So help the ushers out. Help the ushers out. They'll give you a card. Would you be willing today to do that? And what we'll ask you to do is, we've already asked a family to do this today, they'll go to the table in the rear there by the door, take the cup, the plate, and the two flagons of wine and water, and with the ushers will simply come forward and bring those right up to the altar and place them on the altar and then simply go back to their seats. And then the ushers will then receive the offering plates and receive the offering of the community. So we're going to begin that in our liturgical practice here at St. Paul's. It's giving and receiving. Giving and receiving. It's always the rhythm of our lives. And so as we gather together today, and over the next weeks ahead of time, amidst the stress and anxiety that may be imposed by others or self-imposed as we prepare for the holidays, I know what happens. Breathe. Breathe. Breathe as we walk this life together and realize it is God's presence It is God's life. It is God's breath that we breathe. And we share this life in many wondrous ways.